The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
We've been studying the book of Joshua. And as we've studied the book of Joshua, one of the things I hope that you realize is that there are many, many lessons for the life of the Christian out of the teaching of Joshua. In fact, books have been written on the parallels of entering in the promised land by faith and receiving Jesus by faith. When the children of Israel were told to walk across the Jordan River and enter the promised land, it's a picture of you and me trusting Jesus. Remember, they had to dip their feet in the water before the river stopped. And you and I have to express our faith in Jesus Christ before we can enter His promised land and be safe and free and forgiven. And then as they took the cities of Jericho and Ai and other places, remember they did it by the power of God. The one time they tried to do it on their own, they messed up. Somebody said to me one time, "Pastor, this living the Christian life is hard." I said, "It's not hard, it's impossible. You can't do it without the power of God." And so often we rely upon the power of God in our lives to do this. Well, we're going to learn another lesson, and this is going to be kind of a recap of much of Joshua. We talked last week about Caleb and claiming that mountain. We're in chapter 20 in the book of Joshua today, and this is where God is reminding Joshua to set aside six cities of refuge. Now, we are not unfamiliar with refugees. Refugees in our world today have not only divided countries of the world, it's divided people in the United States. And it's creating a greater division as the time goes on. I'm not going to give you an opinion about that, but I am going to say this. All of us at some point in our life need refuge. Refuge just means a sanctuary. Refuge means a safe place. When people want to take refuge in America, they want to come to a country where there is opportunity and where they don't worry so much about starvation and there's a potential for them and their families. And I would suggest to you that all of us here need a city of refuge. Some of you are hurting and you need some hope and some help. And some of you need direction and you need the refuge of wisdom and somebody pointing the way. There's all kinds of refuge that we need. In the book of Joshua in chapter 20, as God directs Joshua and they situate these six cities of refuge, you need to know why they were necessary. A city of refuge was a place where someone could go who unintentionally or accidentally took the life of another person. It's what you and I would call manslaughter today, where there was no premeditation, there was no forethought, you didn't go out for a killing. Perhaps you're a farmer and you need to cut a tree down. And you're a farmer, you're not a woodsman, you're not a logger. So you start cutting the tree down. Now, I'll guarantee you, if you gave me a chainsaw and said, "Michael, cut this tree down," I could cut the tree down, but I don't know where it'd fall. And if you cut that tree down and it fell the wrong way and it accidentally fell on your neighbor who was standing there watching you, and you killed him, you would need a city of refuge. And the reason you would need a city of refuge is because that farmer's boys and his brothers and sisters and his aunts and uncles and his mom and dad, they're all going to have a family meeting, and they're going to appoint somebody in their family as the Gael, G-A apostrophe A-L in the Hebrew, Gael. And that means an avenger of blood. And that person that the farmer's family selects as their Gael is going to come and hunt you down, because the law of the land was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so that guy El could take your life and nobody would do anything about it, even though you accidentally took the life of the farmer. You didn't intend to. You're sorry it happened. That could happen in a multitude of different ways. But if you got to the city of refuge, you would be safe. Now, you need to understand, in the days of Joshua, they did not have the complex court system that we have. And they did not have the policing that we have. And by the way, if you're a member of our police in any form or fashion, thank you on behalf of Shadow Hills. We're grateful that you are here because you keep our city safe, and we're thankful for you. But in the days of Joshua, they didn't have that. And more often than not, military martial law was the rule of the land. And the military really didn't get involved in the civil matters. So they did not have policing, and they did not have the court system. You had to go to the city of refuge so that the Gael, the avenger of blood, would not take your life. And then what happened is the elders would sit at the city gates and they would hear the cases. And you needed to hope that your case would become one that the city elders would hear, and you could be absolved of this and you could leave the city of refuge. Now you look at all of that and you think, well, how does that apply to me? And I want you to know that there are sometimes some easy words from the Lord. It's easy for me to say God loves you. And sometimes there are more difficult words from the Lord, and this is one of those times. Because there is a sense that everybody in this room has committed that kind of a killing. There is a sense that every one of us have unintentionally taken the life of a man, and his name is Jesus. Because the Bible says that it was my sin, and sin is anything you do, anything you say, anything you think that is outside of the will of God, and anything that you don't do that God wants you to do is sin. So there are sins of omission and sins of commission. And the Bible in Romans says all have sinned. All. Every one of us. Everyone who ever will live is a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Just like the Gael in the Old Testament would seek vengeance upon one who had committed involuntary manslaughter. For you and me, the putting of Jesus to death is on us. Now, it was involuntarily, and some of you, you know, you're hearing what I'm talking about, a hard word from the Lord, because somebody said to me after the last service, I never thought of it that way, but that's exactly right. I put Jesus to death. Well, yes, you did. Now, it was involuntary, and we know this because Jesus on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they did. Okay, so we didn't do it intentionally. We didn't do it in a premeditated fashion. We involuntarily, without knowing it, put Jesus to death. But the reality is still there. The man under the tree is still dead, even if the farmer didn't mean to do it. And Jesus died a literal physical death, even though you and I were not aware that it was our sin that put him there. We are now. Just like the farmer was aware that his action caused the death of that man, my action caused the death of Jesus. And so what should be the penalty? Well, if I'm left to the natural world, the avenger of blood would take my life. But Jesus, think about this for a moment. The very man that I helped put to death becomes my city of refuge. Because he says in his word, whosoever will may come to me. Whoever. You can come and find your refuge in me. Well, wait a minute. The wages of sin is death. Ah, but the rest of Paul's statement, the gift of God is eternal life, where? In Jesus Christ our Lord. So my city of refuge is the one that I helped put to death. Thank the Lord that He, the Father, resurrected the Son so I could run to Him and I can have my city of refuge. But now, let me say this. It is possible that while you did not understand that your sin caused the death of Jesus, it is possible for you to refuse to go to the city of refuge. It is possible for you to say, but I'm not going to trust Jesus as my Savior. And you have that right. But the moment you do that, you willfully become premeditated. You know what you did, and now you're saying, I don't care. And now the Bible says that you are at risk of separation from God forever. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, and you have not trusted the city of refuge in Jesus, so you're going to pay the price for your own sin. Look what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews here. In the book of Hebrews, the scripture tells us, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Now let me tell you something, folks. You have received enough knowledge to get you into heaven, and if every person in hell had a second chance, what we've talked about right now is enough for them to get into heaven if they could believe, but they can't. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemy of God. If you willfully, with your eyes open, understand that Jesus is Savior, that He is the only way to heaven, and yet you reject Him and you refuse to receive Him as the payment for your sin, then you haven't found the city of refuge and you will pay the price. That's why we need to understand the parallel in Joshua and my need. The city of refuge in the person of Jesus is available to whoever will call upon Him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the avenger of blood. Saved from everlasting separation from God. But not only is there the nature of these cities, there's the names of these cities. And every one of the names of the city, when you understand what the name of the city means, you will understand one of the things that Jesus will do for you when you call upon Him as your city of refuge. The first one here, Kadesh. You've heard Kadesh Barnea. Well, Kadesh means holiness, which tells me that Jesus is my Savior. Listen to this verse in the Bible. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Listen. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. And here's the kicker. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, you won't go to heaven. Now, I look at that verse and I look at my life and I think, oh dear, there is nothing in me that is holy. I don't let people call me Reverend Rochelle because I know I'm way too irreverent. I am unholy. I am unholy. And the problem is, you are too. We are all in this together. In my unholiness, I can't get into heaven. So what do I need? I need the holiness, I need the righteousness, I need the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that when Jesus went to the cross, that the Father placed all of my sin, all of my dirt, all of my mess on Jesus, and in return gave me His righteousness. And when God looks at me today, he does not see the dirt in my life, my bad decisions, my sin and disobedience. He does not see where I said something wrong or thought something wrong or did something wrong. He does not see when I did not do what I should have done. What he sees is the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus in my life. And when he was looking at Jesus on the cross, all he could see was my dirt. And Jesus died in my place so that I could have holiness and I can go to heaven. He is my city of refuge. He is the reason I'm going to heaven. That when you come to Jesus Christ in faith, he becomes your holiness. And just like a man ran into the city of refuge and he was safe inside the walls of the city of Kadesh, we are safe inside the holiness of Jesus Christ. But there's not just Kadesh, there's Shechem. Shechem means support. Jesus is my strength. And man, I need this. He's my support. He's my strength. Every once in a while. Generally, it's a person my age or older. Saints over 60. I say to them, how you doing? Oh, I'm just holding on till Jesus comes. Really? Because I've tried that, and my problem is I keep letting go. I keep doing what I want to do. You remember that story in the Bible that Jesus talked about, a man having 99 sheep? And he brought those sheep toward the pen, and the way the shepherd counted the sheep is they had a little narrow gate. You've heard about a narrow gate in the Bible. They had a little narrow gate, and the shepherd would stand here by the little narrow gate, and all the sheep, and those sheep would just go through there, zip, 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 and he'd count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and he'd keep going. Got to 99, and one of them was missing. And the Bible says he just closed that gate, put on his coat, went back to the hills. Got up there in the hills. And there up on this little precipice of a rock was a little lamb shaking in the cold, being afraid of the night, away from his mama. And so the shepherd goes up and he looks at that little lamb and he says, now little lamb, I'm going to put you on my back, but you better hold on tight. Little lamb, you better dig your hooves into my side because we're going down this treacherous hill. And I'm going to be running fast, and you don't want to let loose because you'll fall off. You fall off, I ain't coming back. Is that what the shepherd said? No. No, the Bible says that he took that little lamb and he put him over his shoulders and he held his feet securely. He didn't ask that lamb to do nothing. He didn't say to that little lamb, hold on tight. He didn't say to that little lamb, dig in your hooves. Basically, he said, little lamb, I'm here. I'm going to get you home, and you're going to be safe. Now, I've struggled in my life with that sometimes because I want to do what I need to do to hold on to Jesus. And sometimes I feel like I'm holding on for dear life. And he just reminds me, Michael, I got you on my strong shoulders, and that's a pretty safe place to be. And I'm going to carry you through the briars and the fields and over the cliffs. And I'm going to get you safely back. Shechem, he is my strong shoulder, my tower of strength. And then Hebron. The word Hebron means fellowship. Which tells me Jesus is my satisfaction. My satisfaction. What does that mean? I got an idea. I wish I could have gone to one of those cities of refuge because I got an idea that everybody there got along just fine. In fact, in the city here, when you were in Shechem, standing in line at McDonald's or Taco Bell or Burger King, whatever they had in Shechem, and you're ordering your gyro sandwich. You never had the idea anybody was looking at you thinking, that stinking murderer. Why? Because they were too. Everybody had the same problem. And if you knew everybody had the same problems with you, it would create a genuine fellowship and support, and there would be nothing like it. Our problem is we come to church and we do one of two things. We either hide our sin or we're looking for everybody else's. You're a sinner. Folks, I have called you a murderer today. You are. We all are. And some of our sin may be more apparent than others, but if we could just get it in our head and understand that the city of refuge, we're all in the same boat, and there's not any of us better than anybody else. We are all unholy and unrighteous, and we are all people who participated in the death of our Savior, Jesus. And we ought to be in love with Him and in love with each other. And then there's Beezer. Anybody live in a Beezer home? Don't tell them what this name means. They'll start advertising it this way. Beezer means stronghold. It means stronghold, which means Jesus is my security. My security. What does the Bible say? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We sing that song. Do you know how long the person in the city of refuge was safe? They were safe as long as the high priest lived. Every city of refuge had a high priest. Now, the priest's job, his job was to represent the people to God. He'd go to God and say, the people are a mess, they're all sinners. And then he would come out and represent God to the people. And he would say, God loves you and God's forgiven you, live for God. That's the priest's job. And priests were human, so they aged. And the understanding was, as long as the priest was alive, while you were in the city of refuge, you were safe until he died. I would have been on the health planning committee for the priest. I would have been bringing him one a day vitamins, making sure he ate his vegetables, telling his wife not to give him any high cholesterol products. I would have had a team of physicians around him, because if my case had not gone to court at the city gates by the time the high priest died, I was in deep weeds. Does that mean anything to you? Friend, you took Jesus and you're living in Him as your city of refuge. How long are you safe? You are safe as long as the high priest lives. And the beauty of it, God raised him from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father, where he talks to the Father about you and me today. He ain't dying again. I don't have to keep me saved. He does it. Just like he didn't say to that little lamb, hold on tight. The Bible says that I am in the hand of my Lord Jesus, and my Lord Jesus is in the hand of the Father, and the only way to get me out of that hand is to be stronger than Almighty God, and even the devil is not that. That is my security. That is my love, my fortification. It says in Hebrews, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Why? Because he what? He always lives to intercede for us. Ramoth. It means exalted. Exalted, which tells me Jesus is my sovereign. You exalt the King, and Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And then Golan. You've heard of the Golan Heights? Golan means joy. Why can I be filled with joy? Because He is my sufficiency. He is my sufficiency. So He is my Savior, my strength, my security, my satisfaction. He is my sovereign. He is my sufficiency. Those are all blessings and benefits that are mine because I live in Jesus, my city of refuge. So let's talk about the nearness of these cities. Geographically, these cities were all throughout the land. It is said they were near to the population centers so that no matter where you lived, one would be close to you. They weren't divided. The rich didn't have one and the poor another. They were all in this together. I think that's God's way of saying this relationship with me is for everybody. The city of refuge called Jesus is for everybody. But let me tell you some particulars about this. First of all, there were specific roads that were provided. Specific roads that led to the city of refuge. And the Levitical law, the law of the priests, said that these roads were to be maintained. They were not to have any rocks on them. You know, they'd be built by some hillsides, and sometimes there'd be a landslide, there'd be rocks. They had to be cleared, and the bridges had to be fixed, because there wasn't going to be anything that could impede a person from getting to the city of refuge. And let me tell you, God does the same thing today. He doesn't want anybody to stumble on their way to Him. The second thing, they shared signposts that pointed the way. You get to the intersection on these cities of refuge, and there was a marble bust of a man's hand that pointed like that and said, "There's the city of refuge." It's like you go into the airport and you look up there and see Southwest is here and Allegiant is over here and American's over here. You didn't have to wonder because the city of refuge pointed the way. God still does that in our lives today. Still does that in our lives today. How? He gives us the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that points us to Jesus, that speaks to us about our need, that convicts us of sin and brings us into a personal relationship. And then there were stationed runners. If a stationed runner knew that someone had committed involuntary manslaughter and they were coming, the runner wouldn't wait for them to get to where they were. The runner would run to them and guide them to the city of refuge. And I'll tell you what, I'm so grateful in my life for the runners. I'm grateful to Don, who was the pastor of that little Twin Lakes Baptist Church right down the road from us, that 50 years ago baptized me. God put Don as a runner in my way. I'm grateful for Harold, who helped me learn how to live out my faith. I'm helpful for a man by the name of Ken. I didn't meet Ken until Mary and I were married, and I was the youth pastor at his church. And Mary and I went to seminary. Ken and his family were from Texas, and they had come and visit Texas, and they always stopped by, took us to dinner, and Ken would shake my hand goodbye, and there'd always be a $100 bill in it. And let me tell you, 40 years ago, a $100 bill would buy more than it did today. And Ken would look me in the eye and say, "God's going to provide," and he'd give me that $100 bill. I'm grateful today. I got a text last night from a friend that said, "I'm praying for you this weekend." I'm so glad God has put runners in my life. A group of men who will sit and listen and let me be me. And sometimes me being me is an ugly, ugly thing. I was with my wife. She was driving, which is not an ordinary thing, but she was driving. A guy whipped around her and then had to put on his brakes to stop at the light. And I have the right to remain silent, but I don't have the ability usually. So I said, "Oh, man, you got a long ways." And my wife said something that just struck me. She said, "Yes." And he thinks he's a winner. And I thought, that's it. Yeah, he does. He thinks he won. He beat you to the stoplight. He's not a winner. He's a wiener. That's all he is, you know. My wife just looked at me. I don't know where that came from, hon. That had to be something of God. I just came upon me. You know, God gives us people in our lives that help us learn and listen to us when we are hurt and let us be who we are. And they're our Barnabas, our encouragers. And then, strategic placement. They say that everywhere you lived in Israel, you could look out your back window and see a city of refuge. They were strategically placed so that everybody could get there. I think that's God saying, "I want salvation to be clear. I don't want anybody to wonder." It's very simple. We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died on the cross in my place, and the gift of God is eternal life, what? Through Jesus Christ my Lord. That's it. I know I'm, my conscience tells me I'm a sinner. I just need to know about the provision. I want to be able to understand it. And then, separate gates were always open. You know, in the days of Joshua, they'd close the gates of the city at night so people couldn't get in and robbers and thieves couldn't get in. But in the cities of refuge, there was always a gate open. They wouldn't leave anybody out. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, there's no way I'll turn them back. So he says, I will be your salvation and your strength. I will be your satisfaction and I will be your security. I will be the sovereign and the sufficiency of your life. And you can leave this place absolutely sure that you are living in the city of refuge, or you can turn your back and know that the avenger of blood, you will pay your own price. And that's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these moments right now, remind those of us who are living in Jesus. We know we have a city of refuge. Remind us of the beauty of that city and what it cost for us to get there. And for those who are not, may they find that city today in Jesus our Lord.
This has been a production of Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.